Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. I'm a little slow today. All right, I'm going to be honest. We've also got Justin Fick of Kill Monty fame. What would Justin Fick be? What's a good nickname?
See, it needs to be an alliteration. Matrix Mouth Miller.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What is Flaming Face Fick?
That's pretty good.
My face is on fire. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you guys ready? We've had a little bit of a break.
Dude.
A little bit of a lull in our putting out. I know you guys can't believe it. You're like, what? Best damn podcast ever, not a regular weekly. I can't set my watch by their release dates. But we're trying to get back on track.
I'm ready for podcast. I'm ready for podcast. I'm here to rock.
All right, well, this is your gaming news for Friday, March 9th, 2007. All right, this week in the news, Stalker goes gold, and Justin Fick doesn't give a shit. Indie developers quick sucking your own and Kotaku blows a all this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever. I came up with that headline myself just now.
Do we sense a theme here?
Because you two had comedy headlines, and mine wasn't a comedy headline. I had to fix it.
See, I like how on this episode, you know, in most episodes, we start off good, and then the whole podcast spirals into, you know, the oblivion of bullshit at the end. We started there this week, and it's all going to be downhill from here. So
I'm sure. Justin Fick, lay your power on us.
My power. This week, Stalker has gone gold, and I don't give a Stalker, the Shadow of Chernobyl, is the next Daikatana. I'm serious. The game was announced in November 2001. They've been working on this for 6 years. So its original release date was in 2003, and it got pushed back several times, and over, you know, and it's just like hundreds of screenshots and like press releases and fan mail, and it just and nothing ever happened. E3 2005, we saw nothing. In fact, one of the biggest surprises of E3 that year. So basically, Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl. For those of you who also along with me don't give it, is. I guess the best way to describe this would be crossing a first-person shooter and Oblivion.
Oblivion?
Really?
So basically,
what has it got to do with Oblivion?
Well, basically, the way it works is it. I guess it takes place after Chernobyl, and it's in like this alternate reality where things start going wrong, people start mutating, but supposedly everyone has their own little personal agenda, and they all walk around the little scripted path, and they all have backstories and names and all this kind of stuff. And
well, let's stop for a minute and talk about Chernobyl. Now, some of our younger listeners and some of our more mentally retarded listeners may not know of such a thing.
I remember I was in town, and Blake Buck and I had a heat week. That's where we do nothing but heat on stuff.
Oh, it burns.
We took a break from heat week at some point, got some chicken, and we just looked at pictures of Chernobyl for like an hour on Google Maps and Wikipedia.
Dude, Chernobyl is crazy. Justin Fick, tell us what happened in the Chernobyl crisis of 1988. Go.
Dude, blew up, people died, radiation, done. That's all I need to know.
Classy as always with Justin Fick.
And then some goofballs made a game about it. That's the history of Chernobyl in a nutshell.
For those of you totally out of the loop, Chernobyl was a nuclear reactor in the town of Chernobyl, right? And then which is in the Ukraine. And then you know somebody wasn't watching the levels. The bars were going into the red, and they were looking the other way. and it had like some sort of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not collapse. Starts with a C. Not corruption.
And went critical.
Kerblam.
Critical. Good job, Wade Miller. And it was a huge environmental disaster, and a lot of firemen died trying to put out the blaze. Real bad stuff in the late 80s. And so now they're like, hey, horrifying environmental disaster sounds like a fun game.
So some of the features that Stalker is boasting that completely fails to arouse my and which honestly might have been impressive next to I don't know, Marathon Infinity. So let me go through the list. So they have their X-ray graphics engine, which is DirectX 8. DirectX 8 and 9. Good job. And it boasts things such as widescreen support, weather effects, and day-night cycles.
Oh, I can only hope it's got physics. Does it got boxes? Do they fall over?
It has a heavily modified version of the ODE physics engine, which, is neither here nor there, I think.
Dude, what does that mean? What is ODE?
Ordinary differential equations? I don't know.
I'm in the middle. I got numbers.
You know what it means? It means ragdoll physics, destructible objects, realistic bullet ballistics, and skeletal animation.
Oh, well.
Everything a boy wants.
my sphincter is tightening up just thinking about it. But the reason I picked this article is just because everybody just seems to be so crazy for this game, and I just want to let everyone know that I don't give a shit about this game.
Yeah, I have a feeling like all the money on this game was spent on like fancy office chairs.
No, man, they bought everybody Ferraris. That's how it works in the game industry.
Enzo Red.
Yeah.
And Dietrich crashed them all.
Ooh, that's old news. That's a good callback, Justin Fick. Yeah, that was good.
But this is also the only game I've seen so far that has had fan art released for it before the game came out.
Oh, God.
Lame. All right, so I guess if you're holding your breath for Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, maybe after 5 years you'll be able to take a breath. Who knows? Wait, Miller, what is this power?
All right, so my article today, or well, it's not really an article, it's more of a rant today, is indie game developers quit sucking your own That's right. So, as most of you know, the Game Developers Conference is going on right now, and since we have no wealthy benefactor, we're not going. So we just get to sort of languish in our in the shadow of the thing. But anyway,
Blake Buck applied for that scholarship for GDC, and you know what they sent him? They sent him a big frowny face.
I know, me too, Blake Buck. Don't worry about it. So anyway,
see me after class.
So anyway, every year at GDC they have an independent game developer summit, and that's where all the cool new indie game developers get together and have a panel discussion and stuff. And this year was no exception, and had a lot of speakers and a pretty big turnout. So among them, Jonathan Blow, Kyle Gabler, John Mack, Genova Chin, and the moderator, Steve Swink, were the main attractions at this thing. So I thought that I would go on a little rant about what I think of indie game developers, me being one, but just in general. Now, William Miller took a 20th century art course in art school, right? And what he got out of it was that around the time of the Fauvists, this is about the turn of the century, art started to get really fast. And it got really fast because the people that were real innovative, the avant-garde, those that were on the edge of innovation, they just started sucking their own like, like one of them would turn to the other and look at his painting and say, "Man, that's an awesome painting. Could I suck your And he says, "Why, sure, of course you can."
It's just like Jackson Pollock.
Exactly. And it was sort of a feedback loop, right? So they kept getting shittier and shittier and shittier until finally we start coming out of that, so I think listening to these developers, like, I mean, granted, like, these people have made some awesome games, like Genova Chin, got to give them credit for Flow and for, I didn't really like Cloud, but it's still a pretty game, and John Mack for making what was it, Everyday Shooter? That was a pretty good game. And so these guys are making good games, but the way that the general attitude of independent developers, like, making these crazy things that people are going to like, apparently, is starting on one of these feedback loops, very similar to 20th century art. So what I got from all this is that there are two basic camps in independent game development. On the one side, you've got people saying you got to be crazy and innovative and make all this crazy stuff. And on the other side, people are saying, look, there are only like three original games out there. And if you want to make a good game, you model it after one of them three. And William Miller is on the second camp. What do you think, Justin Fick?
Dude, Justin Fick is with you on that second camp.
Right. So in literature, let's borrow from an art form that's been around for a long time. In literature, there are five stories. There are five great stories. Blake Buck, do you know what those great stories are?
Moby Dick, the Bible.
No.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
No. There's man versus nature, man versus fate, man versus himself, man versus man versus God.
Man versus machine.
Or that. That one's new. So there's six.
That one was after Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
So similarly, in the game development realm, we have only a few real basic games. We got Brick Stack. We got Jewel Swap.
Uh-oh. Jewel Swap.
We got Shoot.
Bubble Pop.
We got Drive. I mean, honestly, like, you've only got a few real basic kinds of, like, gameplay mechanics out there. So really, what it comes down to as far as innovation goes is narrative and, like, the feeling that you get across with your game. Anything else that's different and new that's tacked on there is kind of gimmicky and, you know.
Now, I think you could even condense that further down to two games, Shoot and Cut. That's all you need.
Uh-oh.
Shoot and Cut.
Well, what about Brick Stack? How does Brick Stack fall into Shoot and Cut?
Well, Brick Stack, when you make your line of bricks like Tetris, they disappear. They get shot. It's that shoot.
and they're shooting back at you, so you gotta cut it back towards the other ones.
Yeah, and then when the rest of the stack drops down one, it cuts down. Cut.
So Shoot and Cut. So another thing that bothers me about sort of this new wave of independent developers is take Flow, for instance. Mr. Tom Barbalay and I had quite a discussion about Flow and Jenova Chin and all that. And, you know, most people think that games like Flow and, I guess to a certain extent, Spore are like products of a singular flash of brilliance by their designer, when in fact both of those games in particular can be traced back to J.J. Ventrilla's work in digital biology, some like crazy fringe biology computer science stuff that academics do. So like all of these really original ideas and concepts are actually being borrowed from other places, so you know, you can't really take all the credit for them, you know what I mean?
And but I mean, I agree, but to Jenova Chen's credit, like Flow, which, by the way, in Flow, when you eat a dude, you cut him.
Justin Fick, gaming auteur.
But to Jenova Chen's credit, like all the artificial life stuff, like the gene pool, you know, Tierra, Avita, all those artificial life programs really are more to demonstrate simply like the concept of evolution and how that can, you know, and how like,
oh, you're absolutely right, and that's where sort of Tom and I sort of had a disagreement. Well, I don't know, I mean, maybe he agrees with me on this, but it's as far as I could tell, Flow and Spore, from what I've seen of Spore, only relate to like Ventrilla's stuff and the digital biology realm in terms of like aesthetics. You're not actually creating new entities in the gaming space by like mating or whatever.
Mm. No, it's the next generation, William Miller. Okay, you need to calm down. This is the next level of games.
I know.
Someday console games will be able to catch up to this flash game. Oh, I mean the future.
So, but I mean, if you really look at Flow, I mean, all Flow is Pac-Man. You just eat. It's Pac-Man. You know, it all comes back down to those real, like, all of the real innovation happened a long time ago, like 70s, 80s. That's when it happened. Now we've just got, it's like in movies, you know, there are only a couple different kinds of movies. You know, in Hollywood, you want to write a screenplay, you just write something that's already been written. Just put a new skin on it. So
I'm working on Three Ninjas Kickback 4.
That's already been done. It was in a theme park with Hulk Hogan.
Damn it! That's right. I knew that. I knew Hulk Hogan was in four. Damn it. All right. I'm going to direct the fifth one. All right. And it's going to be my house with Blake Buck.
Both figuratively and literally in Blake Buck's house.
Dude, I just want to see a Dukes of Hazzard style car chase and chips and clocks at the different times. And you've got a movie ticket from me.
But I was thinking like my favorite games ever, like Jets and Guns, one of my favorite games ever. That's just a side scrolling shooter, just like Gradius or R-Type. There's like no, except for like the buying new weapon stuff. It just has an attitude that I really like. You know, Kill Monty, your Kill Monty's the same way. It's just Robotron with attitude. You know what I mean?
So I mean, it's really that, you know, it's like putting your, allow me to join these people and sucking my own for a second. It really is about putting your personality and your attitude and your into your game and just sort of slapping people upside the face with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, indie game developers, quit sucking your own c***s. That's it. I mean, you too, Blake Buck.
I'm sorry. I'm very flexible. All right. So, earlier in the week, Kotaku and Sony had a bit of a falling out, guys. I'm going to be honest. It was a mess. So, for those of you who don't know, Sony is a video game company, and Kotaku is probably, if not the largest, one of the largest gaming news blogs on the internet. I'm about to get to these blogs and why Blake Buck doesn't like them, all right? But just hear me out first. So basically, they ran an article that there was a rumor that Sony is working on a new Wii kind of achievement point combining feature for the PlayStation 3 called PlayStation Home. It's going to be where you got like a little man and you can go around and buy him like a little house and buy little things for him to play with and stuff. A little kind of meta mini game like the other two consoles have with the Mii on the Wii and the achievement points on the 360. So before they ran the article, Kotaku contacted Sony and said, do you have any comment on this article? Sony requested that Kotaku not run the article, or it would, what did they say? I think something along the lines of, or it could jeopardize our business relations, right? So, of course, Kotaku, being the most noblest of gaming blogs, ran the article anyway. And, afterwards, Sony, essentially what they said was blackballed. That's what how Kotaku labeled it. Blackballed Kotaku. Requesting, uninviting them from all the GDC events and cutting off professional ties.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
And putting them in timeout as well.
And putting them also in timeout. So, of course. So, in fact, Joysticks, the other large gaming blog, kind of put in their two cents on this story. Earlier, gaming blog Kotaku reported on a rumored PS3 feature being developed at the next week's GDC conference. It was a rumor, blah, blah, blah. This one became notable as soon as Kotaku was asked to take it down. In a calm, straightforward email follow-up article, Kotaku's Brian Crete reveals, or is that Crescente? I don't know how to say that guy's name. Reveals that the blog's failure to comply has led to a complete dismissal and excommunication from Sony. It seems clear that such a response lends the rumor more veracity, but the response itself is far more interesting in what has happened in the rest of the blogosphere. So now, all of these blogs got in an upheaval about online journalism and free speech in the blogging universe. Kotaku fired back at Sony with a stinging "Ooh, it burns!" response. So in doing so, Sony asked us not to publish the story. This is Kotaku saying this. First, nicely, then not so much. Sony SCEA, I abbreviated, representatives reminded us that the story was a rumor and said publishing could harm our professional relations with them. They basically, Kotaku responded like, "We're the free enterprise of the world, and we are God's gift to the gaming journalism industry. And by you severing connection with us, you have violated the laws of Jesus Christ, Gandhi, and all of the gaming blog elite. And let it be known throughout the world of the gaming industry that you, sir, are a traitor to your kind." These blogs that can't even f***ing keep their journalistic integrity for 10 f***ing seconds Somebody asked him to do one. It's like, okay, I'm Sony. Hey, we were maybe gonna reveal this at next week's, you know, event, guys. If you could not run it for us, you know, that'd really help us out a lot. Oh no, we're Kotaku. We're God's gift to gaming. We do whatever we want. This is journalism at its finest. So I can't even say. Somebody else say something so I don't just fall to pieces here.
So Blake Buck in his rant has touched on somewhat of an interesting topic here, and that is journalism in games and the lack of
professionalness with gaming blogs. You read an article on Kotaku. What they do? Stalker comes out on. Stalker has gone here. I've not read this article on Kotaku. This is my impression. Blake Buck impersonates Kotaku article. Stalker has gone gold today at a press event by THQ Games. Sony executives say, oh, this game sucks. Whoa, OMG, right in our forums. Oh, it's hilarious. I'm so funny. I'm a comedian. Look, I'm a comedian. I'm so funny. I gotta put funniness in everything I write because I can't take anything seriously because I'm a gaming blog.
Now, I'd be a lot more sympathetic to the cause of these blogs if I wasn't so sure beyond any reasonable doubt that all of these bloggers, while they're writing all these articles, are just some fat, sweaty nerds sitting in a pool of their own off as they write these things.
Exactly. Look, I've seen Brian Crescente, and let me tell you something. That man is not attractive. He is ugly. I can tell you, I saw him on Attack of the Show one time, and I said, damn.
We've come to low blows here, Blake Buck. they're gonna reject our press releases with extra vigor now.
Look, baby. I am ready to fight Brian Crescente, all right, right now. I just sent out the call. I'm ready to put up my dukes.
You heard it. You heard it here.
Now, that raises an interesting point, though, is that we here at BDPE, we are different because we make no bullshit about the fact that we have absolutely no journalistic integrity. We are totally honest about the fact that we do not give shit.
Exactly. Like, if you're going to be a news site, you got to keep it professional. You can't be a fucking clown on a news site. And these guys that think they're talking about their journalistic integrity while they're running funny YouTube clip of the day articles? Come on!
You leave that business to us.
Yeah, see, we make no qualms about being a couple of clowns. We're not out to fool anybody.
So, basically, gaming journalism industry... Look, if anybody knows of any gaming blogs that aren't just awful and actually are good, send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Also, send blood pressure medication to Buck at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
I'm sorry. I just hate these blogs. I hate them. Like, the reason is I use an RSS feeder to get my news every day. And what are the only two blogs that post full article content in their RSS feeds? Joystick and Kotaku. I got to read these clowns every day. I have no choice.
Whatever happened to Florian Eckhart?
I don't even know who that is.
Like, where the hell did he go? Like, he's not writing for Kotaku anymore. Where did he go? Justin Vick, do you know where Florian Eckhart went?
Dude, he's chilling with Carmen Sandiego. I have no clue.
Maybe his journalistic integrity was compromised and they had to let him go. All right, I can't even talk about this anymore. I'm sorry. This was supposed to be such a well-formulated, you know, statement, and it's just me just b***ing. I'm sorry. All right, now it's time for releases. All right, what we got this week, guys?
All right. On Xbox 360, we've got Bullet Witch, which apparently everybody does not like. February 27th, this action adventure takes place in the exceedingly bleak near future of 2013. Civilization is on the brink of extinction after demons began appearing on the Earth, and players wade into fray as a witch named Alice. Now, I saw a screenshot of this game, and it had a big brain floating in the air. That's all I saw. We also have Dance Dance Revolution Universe for Xbox 360, released February 27th. DDR Universe takes the DDR series in a new direction with a super easy mode for beginners, that's me, and a relay mode that lets friends and family play DDR like a marathon race, allowing players to switch off to other teammates. It has support for online competitions and downloadable song packs. We also have The Sims 2 Seasons for PC, February 27th. The Sims 2 Seasons gives your Sims the chance to experience activities through all seasons with new weather, new objects, and new clothing.
Dude, when is Sims 2 date room coming out?
It's further down the production pipe. Justin Fick, I want you to take this next one because I want the last one.
Also, we have Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection for PS3, February 2007. The arcade update to Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection is now on the PS3 download service.
Finally, we have 300 March to Glory. 300 March to Glory is based around the 300 film, which is based on Frank Miller's graphic novel, which includes King Leontius and 300 Spartans fought to the death against Xerxes and the massive Persian army. All I can say is this. This is madness!
No! This is Sparta! Kick into the pit!
Justin Fick, that game is cut.
No, that game is cut and kick into pit.
cut and kick into hole.
No, I'm serious. If I do not have a kick button, preferably square, that does not kick a dude into a pit, I am not buying this game.
Look, Blake Buck has a secret suspicion that this 300 movie is going to suck real bad. Now I'm going to go see it, but I have a feeling it's going to suck hard. But let us know what you think at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Dude, just based on the trailer, like, it's already awesome just based on the kick into the pit scene. Anything on top of that is bonus.
Dude, I don't know. I think it's trying too hard. It's trying too hard, I think. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to see it this weekend, so we'll see. All right, and now it's time for judgment. We've got this power, baby!
All right, so this week, we don't really have a new judgment, but I have a double-duty follow-up judgment. Now, previous weeks, I have done Crackdown and Alien Hominid, both of a demo and unreleased versions, respectively. Now that both of these games are out, I am going to rejudge these, and I'm gonna preface it by saying both still thumbs up, but now I have tears in eyes of what could have been on both games.
Oh no!
So a couple of buyer bewares. They're both still worth buying, but let me just say that Crackdown, beautiful game, but like. As I am killing bosses very quickly, I might add, maybe one every 3 minutes because that's how bad I am at this game. It becomes less and less fun because there is less and less dudes to kill, and they become weaker. Like I don't know whose idea this was. Like it's realistic, and I guess it kind of works. Like as you're killing bosses, you're cleaning up the city. But like you look at one of the fundamental rules of games. Like games get harder as you go. And Crackdown, as you're killing dudes and killing bosses, the game gets easier because there's less dudes with less cars and less guns.
Dude, what are you talking about? I've been playing Crackdown. It's been getting harder as I go along. You must be going backwards, Justin Fick. You must have started up at that hard aisle and went to the easy one or something.
No, I started off on a Mexican island. Then I went to Russian island.
On Mexico Island, and then where'd you go?
Well, I went to Russian island.
Where?
After that. Russian? The Russians?
Yeah. That's how you're supposed to go, and then you go to China Island.
Yeah, but you go to Russian Island, and everyone's shooting rocket launchers at you, and you're dodging, and you're getting killed. It's like, oh my god. You kill, like, your first couple of bosses, and dudes just stop coming after you. And then the rest of Russia Island is a cakewalk.
Look, I think you're giving Crackdown too hard of a time. Look, Crackdown, you drive around and shoot people. Alright? That's about all there is of the game. Blake Buck
yeah,
likes
shoot.
That.
Shoot. Shoot.
So, if drive around and shoot sounds like fun, get Crackdown.
No, but yes, I reiterate, still thumbs up, enthusiastic thumbs up, but still, tears in eyes of what could have been.
Now, I forgot about this story until just now. Blake Buck acquired his copy of Crackdown for free.
Really?
Uh-oh, Wade Miller. Uh-oh, Wade Miller. Do you remember when I told you about this?
Uh-oh. Uh-huh.
So it was like the day after Crackdown came out. I was like, man, I don't know about Crackdown. I don't think I'm going to buy it. So then Blake Buck went to trivia night at his college. Let me tell you this. That was a mistake. Blake Buck is no longer allowed to go to trivia night. Because see, when Blaibuck goes to trivia night, it becomes a competition in his own head of how big of an asshole can I be. Like, and it just keeps going and going until finally, like, everybody's booing Blaibuck. I won't go into the details.
All I gotta know is, did you get cracked down by winning, or they just give it to you so you would leave?
Oh no, Blaibuck was on stage for about 20 or 30 minutes, winning his money. All right, I won $50, and let me tell you, that was a hard $50 to earn. The dude. Okay, so the competition was like, it was like this double dare thing. It was real stupid. So I was making fun of it the whole time, right? You know, like. They make the same dumb jokes. Like, there's a game where you gotta throw the chicken into the basket. And so, like, he made some joke about, like, it going into the basket, you know, and he's like, whoa, that was a bad egg. So then every time somebody missed after that, Blake Bucks gotta go, whoa, scrambled! Damn, yo! and then Blake Buck finally gets on stage, right? And so I get to the final round, and they go around to each contestant, and they say, what would you do if you won the big money at the end of the game? And they say, like, oh, I'm going to fix my car, whatever. I'm going to buy some clothes, whatever. They get to Blaibuck. He gives them the man answer. I'm going to be buying a whole box of condoms. Ladies, I'm going to be right over there after the show. Everybody's booing. The dudes in the back are just rolling on the ground. I loved it.
Turn this into rubbers.
Anyway, enough of that. Enough of this tale, but it was a hard earn to get cracked down.
Now I gotta say, Mr. Buck, I've noticed that in all contests of physical and mental skill, that you go out of your way to be as big an asshole as possible. Like I'm talking specifically about your Guitar Hero 2 contest.
Yeah, it was the same kind of thing. Like, when Blaibuck is in crowds with big people, he's got to be an asshole. That's the only...
Now, Blaibuck, are we ever going to see that footage from the IGDA party in our New York trip? Now that you don't have to do anything for the show anymore, thanks to Tom Barbalay?
It is in the pipe, William. Look, William, you know what I'm working on. You know I've
I know
got...
what you're working on.
You know I've got some secret power in the pipe.
I think I know what you're working on.
I'm trying to give away to tip you, but I can't think of anything. It ends with a skull.
Oh, I got it.
Look, son, I've been working all week on Photoshop animation. All right, son. I'm sorry, Blaibuck's going wild this week. What's your other judgment, Justin Fick?
My other judgment is Alien Hominid. Now that it's out, I've had a chance to take a couple days and just completely make this game into my. So I played through Alien Hominid now a good couple times, and it's also very good thumbs up, fun game. It translated over well, but there are just some pieces that are missing and some changes that are quite interesting. First, and people have probably noticed this, that there are actually a lot of songs and sounds missing from the Xbox version of Alien Hominid. The entire Soviet scenes have no music and no sound. There's also one part where a boss kind of plays Simon by lighting up certain lights, and you have to shoot these lights, but these do not make noise. And right? You'll probably miss the flashes, so it'll probably cost you a couple of lives figuring out just what the hell is going on. And also, I noticed that while good thumbs up that Alien Hominid is now widescreen, I noticed that some bosses this breaks a couple of their patterns. There is a boss, the second boss actually, which is a giant bee on a highway, and if you jump in a car and take it all the way over to the left, can't really reach you anymore. And also with the final boss, there's some extra room on the sides you can maneuver that you didn't have in the PS2 version, which makes some sequences a lot easier to maneuver around. So, you know, still good thumbs up, but a couple of tears in eyes of what could have been.
Now, are there the absence of sound in that game? You think that's like a coding error, or
No, I think it's probably the 50 megabyte limit that they're still facing on Xbox Live Arcade, probably.
No, that they've changed that now. I mean, I know that that wasn't applicable for Alien Hominid, but they, just so you know, you can now have 512 meg Xbox Live games.
No, it's only 150.
Oh, is it only 150? Okay.
They're now selling a 512 megabyte memory unit, or they will.
That's
be
what it
April 3rd it comes out.
And it doesn't that have a free version of Geometry Wars on it for a limited time?
That it does.
For a limited time only, of course.
That's a jank, though.
So if you own an Xbox 360 and you still don't have Geometry Wars, you can get it.
Yeah.
Also, what's wrong with you?
So yeah, Alien Hominid, maybe they'll update it, you know? Now that the size has gone up, maybe they can, you know, add in some of those sound effects and stuff you're talking about like they're missing and get it to full strength.
Get it updated. Because goddamn, that game is fun.
I've been having fun with it. Thumbs up. All right, well, now it's time for the jank. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys, who's got a jank this week? We're desperate for janks. Who's got one? Well, anywho, so Alien Hominid HD on XBLA, $10, not a bad deal. That's about as good as the jank we got for you, because Blake Buck hasn't been buying a lot of games this week. And by that, I mean I've been buying more expensive games this week. I guess I could mention this. Best Buy had a big liquidation sale about a week ago, and I got Quake 4 for $2 on the Xbox 360. Jank!
Oh, damn.
That's pretty good.
I went and bought Quake 4 thinking I got a jank for $30, but I guess it doesn't hold a candle.
Oh, man. See, but I don't like to tell the listeners about sales that have already passed. Because, see, like, I was in GameStop the other day, and I was buying a wireless adapter. You know those Xbox 360 wireless adapters, you know? Justin Fick knows what I'm talking about. Justin Fick, how much those things cost?
Dude, $100.
$100 for an Xbox 360 wireless adapter. So I'm in GameStop, and I'm checking out my wireless adapter, and the guy at the counter's like, hey, you know, we had a used one for, you know, $70 in here just yesterday. Too bad you missed it, f***er. They don't like me at the local GameStop, apparently.
They didn't like you since we dumped your piggy bank on their table and said, make this into burnout.
Dude, I don't know. GameStop can go eat a bucket of day-old chode for all I care. Dude, GameStop is selling used copies of Sneak King for $8.
Dude, what is that dice? Thumbs down on that dice. Justin Fick, I want some game score tips. Go.
All right. Well, first I will give you an update on Fick's quest for Fusion Frenzy 2 for this contest. Justin Fick is now up to a solid 10,400 gamer score points. He has now passed his 10,000 mark and has entered the contest. And I need to hit 11,550 by April 12th for fabulous cash and prizes. And by fabulous cash and prizes, $2.50 worth of MS points and Fusion Frenzy 2 and a t-shirt and a Contra. And I don't even like Fusion Frenzy 2. I'm just doing this on principle.
So how do we do it, Justin Fick? What's your tips this week?
This week's tips, I would suggest that you go out and pick up Fight Night Round 3.
Fight Night Round 3? With Brenda Brathwaite and the Burger King?
Indeed. For your next 1,000 points, go pick up Fight Night Round 3. It is now a Platinum Hits, so it's only $30. You can get this at Best Buy or wherever, or you can go to GameStop and go eat a bucket of day-old chode with those bastards. $30, Fight Night Round 3. It's 1,000 easy points.
I love it, Justin Fick. They will never know what you said there, but that day-old chode, that's really funny stuff, but they'll never know. Listeners will never know.
Dude, chode needs to make a comeback.
Chode's coming back in a big way.
Chode is the new black.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Chode needs to make a comeback, and what better way than a bucket of day old of it? So, but anyway, Fight Night Round 3, you turn the difficulty down, and you'll probably get all the points before it's even a challenge. Now the bonus to this is that Fight Night Round 3 is actually a good game. I am enjoying every minute of Fight Night Round 3. My my dude is named Agent Clockwork Orange, and he beats up white guys.
Justin Fick, I have a question. What gameplay dynamic does Fight Night Round 3 follow?
All right, well, you shoot your fist out, and you cut your dude with it. In fact, between rounds, there's even a mini game where you heal cut.
The thing I really like about that game is that it has no HUD. It's a completely HUDless game. It's awesome. You know how hurt you are by like how slow you're moving and your vision and all this stuff. It's really good.
But then if you're one of those wars like me that wants to see that, you just turn it on. You just go into your options. You can turn the bars back on. It's like Street Fighter. So it's a very cool game. It's got some kicking hip-hop tracks. You can also now find on iTunes.
Oh, man. Good. I like it. Is it easy to get all 1,000 points, or how do we get the points, Justin Fick?
You just get your points by cutting dudes.
No, shooting dudes.
No, you shoot your fist out, and you cut dudes with them. So all you got to do is you just gotta keep beating the out of people, and you will eventually get all 1,000 points in a couple hours. So very quick, and then along the way you will get the Burger King as one of your trainers.
Oh, delicious!
Oh man!
And then Burger King has his own stats. He raises your heart extra points. So that is my easy 1,000 points for the week. Fight Night Round 3. Go get it!
All right, now it's time for the contest. The erotic fan fiction contest, some say inappropriate, some say lewd, I say delicious. So we got some more entries for the erotic fan fiction contest this week, guys. For those of you who don't know, Wee Miller, break it down for us.
So Blake Buck came up with this contest two shows ago, and it was a riot. So he originally wanted to have our listeners write fiction about their favorite Nintendo characters, but in mid-sentence inserted the word erotic. And thus, we have the Erotic Fan Fiction Contest. So our first, our first submission that we got was from Sippin' the Swede, which was a formidable submission. It was an audio and a text transcript submission, so.
And it's available in the feed. You guys can go down. It's right under episode 15.
And the next one we got here is Jordan D.
I think we should trade this off. Like every three paragraphs, one of us will trade off.
All right.
All right, so I'll kick this off. So Jordan D. sent us a text version. So we're going to pass this off clockwise. I'll let you two figure out what the hell that means.
Because we're in a circle.
Another boring day, I thought to myself. But at least it's warm out. So began my Saturday as I lay outside working on my tan. I've often considered why I attempt to tan given my physique, but such questions were quickly pushed aside by my desire to maintain my appearance. Suddenly, from the grass beside my hut, two figures emerged.
Candy Kong, yelled the smaller one. My eyes returned focus to see Diddy, one of the less substantial males on the island. His eyes looked a little wild. Maybe he had been adventuring. He does crazy things. But then beside him, I saw what I liked. Welcome to my country, Donkey Kong. I tried to be as cheerful as possible. It was the season that usually makes my simian bottom tingle. But for some reason, I felt that I needed to be around Donkey every year around this time.
Diddy, I need to get you into a barrel now. The boys often lunge into a barrel by my place to hit the big save button sign on it. I'm not sure how it got there. I never ask questions. That's the thing about me. I don't ask anything. I just go with the flow. Hop on, boys, I giggled.
With that, Donkey ran in, grabbed me, and dragged me to my shack, with Diddy following close behind. Once inside, I saw a look of intensity on their faces as they worked to remove my bow. 3 minutes later, they had succeeded in their task when they both threw themselves at me. What followed next could only be described by the broadest of euphemisms. But needless to say, the boys got their candy. My pleasure was only slightly tempered by the feeling I should feel guilty for the things I had seen and felt.
15 minutes later, Diddy was throwing his hat up in a celebratory gesture, while Donkey threw both hands in the air, rubbing his palms together in what I can only assume was a veiled hint at what our bodies had just been in contact. I went back to my tanning. I'm just that kind of girl.
Here, I'll finish this. Ever since then, I look forward to the regular trips by the Kongs. Even Funky Kong began visiting eventually. And I was later informed that this is how I became the island. The end.
Bravo. Bravo, Jordan D. Truly a canon of literature.
So, he says here, this bit of glory is brought to you by Jordan D. or Tobias from the forums. So, thanks a lot. All right, so our next erotic fan fiction is sort of a hybrid between our two contests. So he says here, having grown up with Sega rather than Nintendo, I felt the erotic fan fiction contest was not right for me. I considered writing a tasteful homoerotic love story between Sonic and Tails, but I figured that would be getting a bit carried away for those of us who uses the two tails. Everyone. Complete sentences, sir. You're losing points already. So instead, I have already vowed to get our man Fick a hot date. Now, as you guys remember, our second contest is get Justin Fick a hot date in New York, sponsored by Thomas Barbelay. So he says, so here in Scotland, the nights get cold. You can see the eyes of the young women walking home in the pouring rain that they all want a big, strong man to hold them through the night. I think Justin Fick is just the man to warm them. I don't know who felt dirtier, him writing that or me reading it. So I decided to write a love seekers ad for Fick and try and land him on some hot Highland. Oh my. In this letter, Justin Fick is referred to in the third person like he often does during the show. William Miller, take it away.
All right. I don't think Justin Fick should actually be allowed to read this. So Blake Buck, you and me will do it.
All right.
Justin Fick, a studly American game developer, podcaster, philosopher, philanthropist, composer, bon viveur, an all-around nice guy, seeks a sensual woman for a meaningful relationship. Justin Fick is that rare thing, both manly and sensitive at the same time. He's tall and dark and handsome, has a powerful voice, and has been described as sexual chocolate in the past.
Justin Fick, could you say sexual chocolate for us?
Sexual chocolate.
Justin Fick is a believer in virtue ethics and the belief that man should be responsible for the greater consequences of his actions. His 1,000 book library is full of books discussing the moral issues that have plagued mankind since its conception. He likes nothing more than after an evening of intense lovemaking to collapse in front of a log fire and discuss existentialism.
All right. Justin Fick prefers small breasts, but not too small.
No. You got that wrong. Justin Fick prefers small breasts, but not too small. Not too small.
Justin Fick hopes to hear from you soon. All baby. Fick at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Oh, man. All I would add to this is that Justin Fick's sex life is like his game design philosophy. Shoot and cut.
Oh. All right, ladies, you heard the man. So David M., that was who was that from? I think that was from Peachy.
Peachy, yeah.
Yes, that was from Peachy, so thank you, Peachy. So David M. also sent us a hot date tip. I don't know. What is this? I guess he's also trying to get Justin Fick a hot date. So he says here, while I'm not sure if he'll arrive in time, I have sent a special package to the host resident in New York City. Until it gets there, I took a picture for you to savor. And he included a picture of, it looks like a photoshopped image of a 70-year-old pirate whore.
Oh, man.
So he says here he's included one round-trip bus pass, $30 renting out a cheap, dirty guitar-playing hooker that is willing to dress in costume for extended periods of time. $20 setting Justin Fick up on a hot date with a cheap hooker while receiving my exact money in the back in my exact money back in Cafe Press prizes. Priceless. I love it. However, I don't think he actually sent you that package, Justin Fick. I think he's joking.
I think so.
And to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that you would joke about such a serious matter.
Dude, I can dig a 70-year-old pirate chick. Any port in a storm, baby.
If she's no good, I'll keel holler, baby.
That's it. That's the quote. You better write that one down.
Oh, I love it. So if you have any more ideas, again, to remind you of the contest, I say we give one more week for our erotic fan fiction contest. Because right now, look, if I had to pick, though, the other submissions were good. I think Sippin still has a good lead on you guys, because he's definitely sunk the most time and effort into his entry. So, should I say that? I don't know.
No, don't say that.
Okay. But he's clearly in the lead, guys.
Well, yeah, of course.
All right, so some more good entries. Keep them coming, guys, for the erotic fan fiction contest. If you have any entries for the erotic fan fiction contest, send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. So we're going to be picking the winner next week. So get your entries in.
Also, the hot date contest, I think we should just leave that one open.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it ever comes to fruition, we will be quite entertained.
Dude, if it comes to fruition, she's coming on podcast.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Oh.
Be over with.
Yeah, hot date over.
Now it's time for feedback. All right, so you heard Calix say, our listener line doesn't work, blue boo ba doo ba doo. So I've decided, all right, today I'm going to call our own listener line and see what the deal is. So I called into the line, and instead of getting our normal voice playback message that you hear that goes, whoa, what the best damn podcast ever, leave us a message. Instead, you get this British lady who says, the caller you're trying to contact is not available at this time. Please leave your message at the tone. So I think maybe people were getting confused. Somehow our custom recording got erased. And so people were confused. They're thinking maybe they got the wrong number. We will fix the recording. And so there shouldn't be any more confusion about voicemails.
So it was us the whole time. It wasn't another number?
Yeah, it's always been. You could always leave voicemail, but people were getting confused because it didn't. They had the default Skype, you know, answer is like this British lady who I guess was confusing everybody. All right, who's going to take these emails?
All right, we got an email from Calix. Hey, BDP, it's me again. I haven't tried calling you again, but in case it doesn't work, here is my email. Now, this time around, I have a stump buck. My stump is Phoenix Final.
Phoenix Final. All right. Phoenix means fire, and final means last. Last fire. All right. That's not helping me much. All right.
Your Phoenix doesn't mean fire. You're retarded.
Dude, all right. Phoenix means RPG. Final means fire.
Okay, that's better. So
this is a side-scrolling RPG beat-em-up from Capcom.
Actually, it's a third-person space shooter, which you play the part of a fighter-bomber squad, flying around, trying to destroy enemy characters. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, sounds great.
I want to play now.
We also got one from Lucas. He says, the cereal Fick was wondering about last show is Crispix.
Dude.
And he says, read this email on the air like we won't.
Okay, we need to stop right here and have a how to get your email read on the air like tutorial, okay? Wayne Miller, what kind of emails don't we read on the air?
All right, we don't read polysyllabic prose on the air. Don't do that.
No more than four syllables.
Yep, preferably one per word. And no more than three sentences if Blake Buck's going to read it.
I won't say three sentences, but some of you guys, I mean, you know, thank you for emailing us, but you send us like three pages, and then I got to go through and see what sections we're going to read, and then by the time I'm going through and doing all that, you got send us a short email to the point, state something either interesting or funny, and you're done, all right?
So, well, so quickly, in response to Lucas, it is certainly no. Crispix wrong. No.
Is that the Death Star? Oh my God.
Oh, is that the Death Star?
Wow, I haven't heard that one in a while.
Crispix is actually still in circulation. I actually had a whole box of that dry just the other day. The cereal that I'm thinking about has not been sold in many a year.
Is it? Are you talking about like Chex Mix?
No, you idiot.
Damn it. That's the last time I talk on this show.
the cereal that I'm trying to find was billed as a cereal that never gets soggy because of its curved shape, and they actually displayed a picture of a drop of milk rolling off of this curved shape, ridged flake, which just completely neglected to mention that the whole time all your flakes are submerged under fucking milk the entire time. So I'm trying to find this cereal.
Look, Justin Fick, are you sure this was a cereal and not like some sort of crack pipe or something?
Memory is hazy. Back in the day, the sixth grade. But I'm positive it's a cereal. And it is no longer sold, and I'm just trying to find the name of it so I can laugh at it some more, but I cannot remember it.
Like we're gonna put this one in the same drawer as Sippin's Mac Apple II game he never found.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah.
Well, that was a way distant callback. That was like episode 8. By the way, guys, speaking of episodes, we're coming up on our 50th episode next week, our 50th show. I hope you're ready. It's gonna be in the air. I don't even know what that means. That's how good it's going to be.
Okay, our next email, and this is the last one I'm going to take, is from David M. He says, good show this week and last week as well. Nice new format. And guys, the Wiki Fairy is from Canada, former British colony, but it's cold there, fellas. Now, who do we know that's from Canada, Blake Buck? Tunsir Dennis is the Wiki Fairy. That's it. We've mystery solved. Case closed.
All right, so Bruce Morrison writes, Dude, you're missing one of the major parts of Chex Man. Since it's built off the Doom engine, it means all the Doom cheats work, including IDDQD, IDKFA, you know, that kind of stuff. I also agree that ID kicks f***ing ass sounds cool, but IDKFA would give you full keys and ammo. If you leave the K and type DFA, you get full ammo and all weapons. So while kicks f***ing ass is cooler, it's just not logical. John Carmack was a master of logic. Debate over. Wow.
I mean, John Romero was not, and John Romero can kick John Carmack's ass. Debate over. I'd kick f***ing
John Romero is more beautiful than John Carmack. I think that's a proven fact. Dude, that's what that Brian Crescente... Brian Crescente had this long, flowing, greasy-looking, gross hair. Shame on you.
Blake Buck, you're going to fight him. You're going to fight him.
The call-out is complete, Mr. Brian Crescente.
It's probably one of them other guys. I don't even know which one it was, but I hate him.
Dude, they're all Brian Crescente.
You know the one. You need to wash your hair. You know who you are.
All you bloggers look the same to me.
Look, don't get me started on bloggers again. Chris R. writes, hello. Meant to write for you guys, but I've been insanely busy, so I'll just be listening instead. Guys, if anybody would like to write content for the BDPE homepage, just send an email to bruce@freeverse.com, and he will hook you up, because he is our editor-in-chief. And you can get your articles on the homepage. So bruce@freeverse.com. Anyway, I did, however, catch this and decided that it must be brought to your attention. It says here, John Edwards meets Second Life feces-spewing obscenities.
So there's a digital campaign headquarters for John Edwards in Second Life. And apparently, like, a bunch of dudes vandalized it with feces-spewing obscenities.
So it's a piece of s*** that says s***.
Yeah, I think that's it. And, yeah, so... There's a quote from this. It says, the gray, humorless drones of political parties or corporations rushing to establish a presence in Second Life because it's the thing to do, only to find themselves staring directly into the collective goat-see of the internet's soul. I love it.
No, but honestly, dude, John Edwards, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, come on. Come on. Also, like, last week in Second Life, somebody set off, like, quote-unquote nuclear bombs inside two big, like, corporate establishments in Second Life. Like, I saw screenshots of it. It's pretty ridiculous. Second Life is ridiculous. It is. It's the collective goat sea of the internet soul. That sums it up, man. It really does.
Powerful words. All right. Just Fick, take his power.
All right. Christian writes, guys, love the show. Always makes me laugh. Thought you should know that whenever I try to download episode 13, I get episode 12 instead. This problem is on both Podcast Alley and on iTunes. Is the link broken or am I doing something wrong? Best, Christian. Fun fact, Sean from Harmonix is my roommate. Christian, to answer your question,
we're not going to talk about episode 13.
Look, we're still hiding from Microsoft, okay?
Yeah, don't talk about it. If you have it, get rid of it.
Yeah, if you have episode 13, keep it secret. Keep it secret, don't tell.
All right, we've got one from Jeremy W. Says, William, Justin, and Blake. You guys have a lot of gaming history. We do, thank you. I'm curious, what's your most amazing oh sh** moment in gaming? I can tell you mine right off the bat. Now, Lee Miller bought a Nintendo 64 back in the day. And, you know, he was marginally impressed with Nintendo 64. But, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that, he went out and bought PlayStation. And when he saw that FMV from Tekken, he sh**ed a load in his pants. It was a demo disc that came with the PlayStation. I played Tekken.
No. Demo tape, son.
Demo tape.
Yeah, I remember seeing Final Fantasy VII, and that was, like, mind-blowing to me. Like, there was my dude, and he was like a video, man. It was like I was watching a movie screen.
And it came on 3 tapes. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's time for the stump. All right, guys. I hope you're ready. I hope you've prepared a veritable similitude of feastings for this week's stump.
All right, I guess I'll start this show. Now, Blake Buck, Justin Fick, I hope to God that you've played this game. I've been on somewhat of a roll for the past couple shows with my DOS games from old, and this is one of them. This is a seminal DOS game of old. This game is Commander Keen.
Dude, are you yanking my Mr. Miller here?
Commander Keen, ain't that like a Command and Conquer? Ain't he like the captain in Command and Conquer or something? Or was that Commander Khan?
See, Fink, I knew you would get this, but I knew Blake Buck would not, and he would embarrass himself on the show.
All right, Commander Keen, obviously, he's a commander, and he's got these ships, and they're all kind of floating around, but the problem is that he doesn't have a radio to talk to his spaceships, and you gotta go around and find a radio and talk to your units. Look, is it not Command and Conquer?
No, Blake Buck, Commander Keen was made by id Software back in the 1990s, and it was built on top of John Carmack's revolutionary, like, side-scrolling graphics engine on MS-DOS. Remember back in the old days, MS-DOS games, they operated on blocks, right? You press forward, you move one block over. It wasn't smooth, like on the Nintendo. But John Carmack fixed that, and that's what Commander Keen was. And it was published by Apogee Software and spawned a whole bunch of sequels. And there's even one for the Game Boy Color, I think, or something, or GameCube, or I don't know. One in 2001 that came out. What is that? GBC? Yeah, Game Boy Color, Commander Keen.
Hmm.
Anyway, you better go play that game. Fick, you've played Commander Keen, right?
I haven't played Commander Keen, but I know it.
Dude, I
know what Commander Keen is. Cause that was when John Carmack came out with the dirty rectangles method, and John Romero his pants. I read Masters of Doom. I know what it is.
Yeah, man.
All right, fine. You take your little robot games, cause I'm gonna get Justin Fix right now. Lay it on the go.
All right. Well, mine is actually a little bit easier, but it should be double points if you miss it because it is so easy. My stump for you fellas this week is called Monster Party.
Well, you're monsters, and it's an early precursor to Mario Party.
I remember that game Monster Pocket. Oh no, Monster in My Pocket. You remember that game?
I remember that game,
dude. I used to have like the little figurines Monster in My Pocket.
Yeah, it was like an animated show, a game, and you could actually buy the monsters and put them in your pocket. All right, I know what Monster Party is. Isn't this a, or no, is that Monster Hunter? Oh, I'm in trouble.
There's a big difference now, party and hunting.
Do I want Monster Shoot or Monster Cut? I don't know.
What would party be? Is that shoot or is that cut?
Now it depends on whether or not you're in Mexico.
It depends on the mini game, I guess.
Give me some more clues about it.
All right, it's an NES game.
I was thinking it was an NES game.
And then I would say it's much more cut, although there is a little bit of shoot, depending on the power up.
Is this like a game you got to pick like one of like three monsters, and it was like a side scrolling like kind of platformer, and you had like the mummy, and like the werewolf, and like some sort of green thing?
Even better. Monster Party was it's an old NES game, and you were like this little kid in like this happy monster land, and it's cool because halfway through the first level, this happy monster land just transforms into this bloody orgy of death and body parts, and you have to run around and you have to hit people with your bat, which is an abstraction for cut. And Monster Party, however, is notable for its selection of boss monsters. Monster Party has got to be a couple dozen boss characters. The most notable of which, and I am not kidding you, you will fight a bouncing jumbo shrimp that calls you baby.
Baby?
I am not kidding you. And when you do enough damage to this jumbo shrimp, it turns into an onion ring, and it will continue to bounce at you and call you baby.
When you
do enough damage to the onion ring, it turns into a barbecue. It turns into shish kebab. And it will continue to jump at you and call you baby. I am not making this up.
Justin Fick, are you sure this is really a game and not an LSD acid trip from the mid-80s?
This game exists regardless of, and perhaps there is LSD involved in the creation of this game. I don't know why I get that impression, but I do. But yeah, you will fight a jumbo shrimp, and you can eat pills that turn you into a gargoyle, which then you can execute shoot.
All right, are you guys ready for my stump? Because I've got a monster party of a stump. My game for you this week. Now you guys might get this. You guys might get this. Are you ready?
Go.
My game for you.
Go.
Steel Battalion.
Dude, you. Oh my god. All right. Steel Battalion is a mech game, and you have that big controller with like 50 buttons on it. And there's a Steel Battalion 2 that Blake Bug's been beating off over for about 2 years.
Damn it. Blake Bug does still not own Steel Battalion. One day.
I remember in high school you were saving up to buy Steel Battalion, then you bought something else instead. I think it was, I don't remember what it was, but that's been like the goal, Blake Buck's goal forever, that always gets pushed behind other ones that come up.
I'll let you know, Blake Buck just earlier today bought Steel Battalion on eBay, son. Oh. Yeah, that's right. So, you can suck my big old greasy motherfucker.
I'd rather not. Actually,
I'd rather just take my stump point. Thank you.
Yeah, did you know of Steel Battalion, Justin Fink?
Of course I did.
Was that all we got for stump, guys?
I think so.
All right, well, now it's time for the outro. All right, well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It was a pretty good show. We clocked in at a smooth 1 minute 46, or 1 hour and 46 minutes. It's a lot for Mr. Tom Barbalay. We very much appreciate his work, by the way.
Tom Barbalay, our audio editor, is an invaluable resource.
Dude, he's full level 70 badass, Tom Barbalay.
I know. He's always sending us emails like, Blake, here's some new ways I thought of promoting the show. Oh, good, because I have no ideas. Please, let me hear them. So, thank you so much, Mr. Barbalay. Also, guys, for the month of March, we're going to make Podcast Alley. Are you ready for this? That's right. Podcast Alley, the podcast ranking site. We need you to get us in the top 10. Now, most months, top 10's only got about 100. Like, number 10 only has, like, 100 or so votes. And we could easily, if even like a small percentage of you guys voted, just a tiny little bit, we would easily be in the top 10. So vote for us over at Podcast Alley. We'll stick a link to Podcast Alley on the site, and let's break the top 10, guys. Let's do it. Are we going to do it this week? What do you think, Lee Miller?
I think so.
What about you, Justin Fick?
We better.
We better. Because there may be a prize involved.
Ooh.
Some sort of marathon prize. Also,
that's right. Oh. Don't let that slip by. We promised, I guess it was in an IMG that we promised this. If our show got in the top at Podcast Alley, Blake Buck would play through a marathon naked.
Perhaps we'll bring that back if we can get to top 10 Podcast Alley. So go vote. It only takes, you have to enter in an email address, but it only takes maybe, total time, it takes maybe like a minute to a minute and 30 seconds to do this. Not a big deal. Search for us on Podcast Alley. There's a link on the site. And maybe there'll be some minute for you. Who knows?
And now we're not saying you guys go out and make a bunch of dummy email addresses and vote with all of them.
No, they track your IP, so you'd have to do it from different computers. Look, well, I've already tried exploiting that, Justin Fink. All right, so if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our newly recorded voicemail listener line at 845-BATTLE-9.
Also, if you'd like to write for the Best Damn Podcast Ever, send an email to bruce@freeverse.com. He will be happy to review your material and put your stuff on the site.
Absolutely.
Write our content so we don't have to.
Exactly.
So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Wee Miller.
I'm Justin Vick.
And we will see you next time.
He's got his guitar. I got my guitar. I'm like, dude, I heard some guitar here. I'm here to rock. And he's like, oh my God, that's so crazy. That's like totally weird. I'm looking in there and there's no one else in this apartment. Mr. Nick.